Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Well, hello, friends. I'm glad to be with you all today. You know, it occurred to me that recently I have not really gone through specific stages with you for Alzheimer's disease. We've gone through, you know, early stage, mild cognitive impairment in front of that, moving through in the progression, going all the way through mid-stage and late-stage and so forth. But I thought it might benefit you if I gave you a staging system for the progression. And I like to use the Allen scale that was the main guiding factor for the Alzheimer's Association for many, many years, and they still use it. Now, there are people that go backwards on this scale. On the Allen scale, we go from 6 to 1. A lot of people I have heard go from 1 to 7. But I think this scale works pretty well, and I want to go through it with all of you. And I want to tell you in advance that if you would like a copy of this, I can email it to you. If you email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com, just go on my website, hit the Contact Us, and you can send me a request right there and just say, I would like a copy of the staging system for the progression of Alzheimer's, and I would be more than happy to send it to you. Okay, so let's get going with it. So why do we need a staging system? Why would we need one anyway? Well, I think that it's helpful when you have as much information as you can possibly have and you know what's coming in the disease. It's a little bit easier to maneuver through it, to be able to have a little bit of control on your journey. I think overall, it really would help you to be able to recognize symptoms and the presentation of the disease so that you're not surprised by anything that you see. Oftentimes, I think the biggest thing that someone struggles with when they contact me is they don't understand why the brain is working in a certain way, and the person will have a symptom that they consider baffling or troubling in some way. And so I hope while I'm talking, you're getting your pen and paper or recorder or whatever it is that you utilize to remember what I'm talking about. But I think that if you can understand these stages a little bit better, you won't be so taken off guard, taken aback, be devastated or concerned when these things start happening. So when we get going in the stages, typically we would go with a normal area where the brain is working perfectly fine is what we call 6.0 on the scale. Nothing's wrong. You're going about your day-to-day business with extreme proficiency. You're not showing any signs at all at this time that anyone can recognize. The truth of the matter is we do see in hindsight that maybe 10 years before a diagnosis, we could see certain things that were happening in someone's life that might have been a red flag, that might have given us a clue that something was going on, but we just didn't recognize it at the time as being something serious enough to alert us that we should be looking in this direction. Okay? And I think any neurologist you talk to, any primary care physician that knows anything about Alzheimer's would say the same thing, that it's really hard to detect when something's going on, when the person seems normal on every other level. Okay? So now let's go to early stage. Early stage would be considered 5.0. So on this scale, we're not including mild cognitive impairment. Now, many doctors who are PCs, primary care physicians, they in general went through their medical school, their residency, so on and so forth for 8 years, and if they didn't choose neurology as a specialty, would not necessarily be the person you want to see if you are having memory issues or cognitive issues, because they may not be in tune to what's going on in a person's brain. They may not recognize Alzheimer's because they didn't choose that specific field, that specific specialty. And it's strange to me how we go to our primary care physicians for everything under the sun, for an ache or a pain or a break or the sniffles or the flu or, you know, our eye hurts or, you know, we broke a toe or something like that. And they're perfect for that, but not great for understanding Alzheimer's and knowing where you are in the trenches. So if you're going to get a diagnosis and you think somebody is showing signs where they would be in the mild cognitive impaired stages, I would really ask you to ask your primary care physician to suggest a person that is really working with this disease more closely, okay? So having said that, in the early stage at a 5.0, that's where we're seeing more of a presentation of the disease that is concerning to us. There's just a couple of things going on here or there that don't look quite right. We think this is not the person is not acting like themselves. They have strange behavior. They're forgetting appointments. They're forgetting to pay bills. They're not flushing the toilet. They're leaving the refrigerator open or cabinets open, things like that. Okay? And then we move to early middle stage, which would be a 4.5 to a 4.0. Okay? And early to middle stage is where you have much more significant impairment. You're really being concerned at this point. You're starting to talk to other family members and friends about the disease. And it's a situation where there's cause for concern that is enough that you're starting to question driving habits, activities of daily living, grooming themselves, dressing themselves, things like that might just be a little askew. They're not completing tasks from A to Z. They're leaving steps out, things like that. Okay? And then we have late middle stage, which is going to be 3.5 to a 3.0. And late middle stage generally is where we might be calling in a home care company or a family member or a neighbor friend to come and assist with some of the things that are going on during the day, making a few meals here and there, taking them for walks, keeping them engaged, mowing their lawn, you know, just things like that where they need extra supplemental help to get through the day as well as they possibly can. They probably at that point would need help with maybe going to the grocery store, making sure that their food is not expired, that they're not overfeeding or underfeeding the dog or cat or something like that, okay? And then we're going to move to late middle stage, which is 3.5 to 3.0. And at that point, we might really be looking at a care community, extra help from a home care company where they're really helping with everything. They're helping with bathing. They're preparing meals. They're helping the person get dressed and brushing their teeth and brushing their hair and preparing themselves for a day. They're driving them to their appointments. It's a much bigger deal at that point. And literally everything that they're doing throughout the day has someone assisting in some way or another. They can't do a lot on their own. And it has become a case where their bills need to be paid. They need to be helped with every area of daily life in order to be successful. Okay. And then the late stage is 2.0 to 1.0. And that's where they're generally in a care community. If they're at home, they may not be walking so much. They're closer to the end. They need complete care, maybe 24-hour care. Most times we see people in communities. At this point, we have to help them to eat. We might have to cut their food, spoon feed them, use Ensure. They're often incontinent, and we have different issues surrounding that. Okay, so at 1.0, they're bedridden and death is imminent. Okay, so I'm going to a couple of times go back through these stages and tell you exactly where they are, where the signs would begin to show and things like that. So to make it break it down even easier, at the 5.0, the early stage, signs begin to show. Okay? So write that down. 5.0, signs begin to show. They're not devastating, but they're concerning. In the early middle stage at 5.4, it's a time of increasing problems. Again, a time of increasing problems. We're getting more and more concerned about these issues that are showing themselves. The presentation is more pronounced. There is definitely a problem, and we can't avoid it any longer. We're often getting a diagnosis at this point. At 4.0, that means that the impairment is more noticeable. Now we're having to have conversations of repetitive language, extreme aphasia, not being able to remember the word. They cannot remember appointments. It is much more pronounced where we're having help come in. Okay, so impairment is more noticeable. Even if we're not having help come in, your job as a caregiver has increased exponentially. And you're going to know it. You're going to feel it. You're starting to feel overwhelmed at this 4.0 level. That's when you're starting to get in a support group. You're starting to ask for more help, and you're trying to learn, okay, as a caregiver. Now, late middle is 3.5. That means that they are dependent in basic tasks. So 3.5, late middle stage, dependent in basic tasks. They need you to get the shower started. They need you to lay their clothes out and possibly help them dress, maybe button their shirt or help put their socks and shoes on, things like that. You have to run that shower or bath for them. They can't do it themselves. You might have to grab a towel and help them dry off. They can't make their own food at this point. They need you to prepare a meal, things of that nature. So dependent in basic tasks. Probably not, hopefully not, driving a car at this point, because you as a family member or caregiver could be liable if you have a diagnosis, you know that person is driving. We've had shows on that before. You know how that works. All right. Now, in late middle at 3.0, again, 3.0, that is general confusion. When you talk to them, they don't seem to understand what you're saying. Their judgment and reasoning is no longer working. They have delusions, beliefs that they believe that are true that are not true or not within grasp. At this point, thinking that they can live on their own when they cannot, that they can drive a car when they cannot. Confusion with who you are. Are you a family member that they know? Are you a caregiver that's been around for a long time, that a person in their life that they've known for many years, and they're starting to look at you and not know who you are? They're not recognizing voices on the phone. They may not recognize their own face. So this is a huge area of general confusion and really dropping in the scale. This person is having significant problems, and in fact, incontinence could be starting. They may need to use toiletry products like Depends, things like that, and need help in every area of their life. Now we'll move to late stage, and that is 2.0, and it means minimal abilities, and that means that they literally can't do anything on their own. Now you're actually getting them in the shower and you're washing them. They might be sitting on a bench. You're washing their hair. You're helping them dry off. You get them dressed. When they're done, you might be creating finger foods for them because they can no longer pick up a spoon or a fork and eat on their own. They don't recognize a fork or a spoon. They may be talking less. They might be talking in word salad. It's a big deal. And then 1.0 in the late stage means they're bedridden and they are near death. So what I want you to do, and the reason why I will send this to you, and as you're listening, I want you to think about the examples that I give. And if I'm talking about the early stage 5.0 and everything applies to the person you're caring for, then they are no longer in that stage. If you can check everything off the list, they are no longer in that stage and you move down to the next level. Okay. And so as I'm talking, you can basically listen to this and say, no, that one's already, we're already there. Or no, we're not there. Now, not every single symptom applies to every person in each stage, but it is a pretty good outline. Somebody asked me today, actually on my way here to the studio, someone asked me about why is there even any stages, because the Alzheimer's Association likes to say that if you've met one person with Alzheimer's, you've met one person with Alzheimer's. Well, my answer to that person was that it is true that sometimes people have their brain affected in different ways at different times from another person. But the truth of the matter is there is a thread that runs through this disease that everybody experiences at one point or another. So I'm going to tell you this is going to work. If I say a line to you, if I say a stage to you, a symptom, and it does still apply, but I give you six or seven in that grouping, and there's only one that doesn't apply, and then we move to the next grouping and you see three or four that may apply in that area, you still move down to the next area. Okay? So anyway, having started with that, let's go. So, sorry, I'm a little froggy today. The early stage, 5.0, signs begin to show. So these are the kind of things that you're going to see. The person is relatively able and independent. Okay? Relatively able and independent. If your loved one has been relatively independent and able to do tasks on their own, to drive a car, to go to the grocery store, things like that, then you know that that's one that is already applied. If they can't do that any longer, check it off. That one's gone. All right, here's the next one. Problems with short-term memory. Now, we all know, I've said this over and over, that short-term memory is the first thing to go in Alzheimer's because the hippocampus is the first thing that is attacked at the base of the brain. So if their short-term memory was the first thing that you noticed, check this off. Done. We're moving on. Okay? The next one. Problems with losing track in complicated tasks. So I had a guest on a couple weeks ago, Deb Jobe, and she was talking about her Alzheimer's diagnosis and that the first thing that she noticed was that she had a really high-profile, important job with her company. She was a VP. And suddenly she could not work through various tasks and various jobs that had been so simple to her in her life at one time. So this might be someone goes to mow the lawn and they don't do a very good job. They leave some high grass in a few places. They go to make a recipe and you notice that something's missing. They go to get a drink in the refrigerator and come back with nothing and then remember a few minutes later that they went to the refrigerator to get something to drink and didn't do it. Working a crossword puzzle that they're really, really struggling with. Taking a bath or a shower and not completing washing themselves in every place that they need to. Things like that. So if you've seen problems in that area, you know they already exist, check it off. The next one, problems with planning, problem solving, and judgment. We call that executive functions. So making an appointment and being on time. Remembering that you had an appointment at 2:40 in the afternoon and you needed to be there. Telling the person that you realize that they have some memory loss and so on and so forth, and they're not listening to you. No, I don't have any problems. They have severe denial. They're driving poorly and you don't want to ride with them anymore. They're not paying attention to the rules of the road or the speed limit or stoplights or stop signs or anything like that. When you see that they're arguing with you about reality and you know that they're impaired in that area and they're missing on a couple of cylinders here, that's where that problem with planning, problem solving, judgment, and reasoning comes in. If you're seeing issues in that area, check that off. They should be able to manage most concrete tasks. We're going to leave for church at 8 a.m. and on Sunday. And they don't get up at 8 a.m. They don't set their alarm. I need you to pull the hamburger out of the freezer and put it in the refrigerator so we have dinner tonight. And they don't do it. You need to go up and take a shower or a bath and they forget. You ask them to lock a door and they leave the door standing wide open. You ask them to help you with putting dishes in the dishwasher and they put them in the sink instead. That's what I mean by concrete tasks. So if you see those things dropping up, I can give you a good example of that one too. I had a lady who told me that her husband doesn't recognize forks anymore. He always set the table and he asked her, he pulled a fork out and said, "Is this a fork?" That would be a big red flag, right? So thinking about those kinds of things. Are they not recognizing objects? That happens in the left side of the brain, the temporal lobe. They don't recognize an object. On the right side is where they can actually name the object. So in this particular case, they're just not able to complete that task of setting the table with all the proper, you know, placemats and utensils, salt and pepper and all that kind of stuff, it all gets lost. So if they're not able to do that, that's something you recognize, check that off. They may have their quality of performance affected and they may behave impulsively or hesitantly in certain areas. So they start to do something like asking, "Is this a fork?" And it's abnormal for them. They pull up to a gas. You pull up to a gas station, and they might ask you, "Are you going to get gas?" You know, something that just doesn't sound right. It doesn't fit with the whole conversation. They may want to go down the street to get a Slurpee or something at Sonic, and they just can't get it out of their mind. I had a lady who said that her husband was an alcoholic and he'd been clean for many, many years. And about a week ago, they drove by a liquor store and now he wants to walk to the closest liquor store in Stapleton about 15 times a day. So that's one of those examples of being very impulsive. If you notice these kinds of things, check it off. And that stage is done, 5.0. So now they move down to another stage, the early middle stage, level 4.5, and that is a time of increasing problems. So they may seem to perform normally, but errors creep in. Now we're moving from the early stages to something more significant, okay? This is where they haven't paid their bills on time. They're struggling with directions. The doctor's office has called and said they have not made an appointment or not met their appointment, not been there on time. You see, you know, problems with that they're having at work. A boss might call and say their performance isn't quite as good as it used to be, or they come home with a pink slip saying, "My boss said I'm just not doing as good a job as I used to. I don't know what's going on." You see that the daily routine isn't working. The errors are creeping in. If you're seeing that, check it off. Next, they'll keep a goal but may need reminders. 10 times, "We've got to go to the doctor today at 10 o'clock. We've got to get ready to go." "What are you doing watching TV? I need you to get dressed. We've got to go to the doctor." You're saying something 3, 4, 5 times in a row. If you see that happening, check it off. They may be more easily distracted. They might need help staying on track. They're readily redirected. If you say, it's a hot day outside, you might need some shorts on instead of those sweatpants. You're going to be really hot. And they say, "Oh, okay, I'll go and change." They get really off on a different tangent when you're trying to talk to them about something. You're in the kitchen cooking, and all of a sudden they walk out of the room and go do something else. And you're saying, "What the heck's going on? Why aren't you paying attention to what I'm saying?" These are areas where you really notice that you can't keep their attention. They have a very short attention span, and they're going from this to that to the other, and you're constantly running around trying to keep them on track. That's where you're going to see more increasing problems. We need to take a short break, and we'll be back with the early middle level 4.5 stage.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, cool. Well, we're back, and I asked everybody to grab a paper and a pen because today I'm actually going through a staging system that you can utilize to help you see when your loved one or the person you're caring for is moving from one stage to the next. So I think this will really help you to be able to say, "All right, this is starting to make sense. They have been through all these various levels right now and all these different symptoms or actions apply. So now that means I'm moving down to the next stage." So when we went to break, we were at 4.5, just to recap again. All right. So the next thing is, not only are they are you dealing with a short attention span, but now they are starting to have language skills that are troublesome. Okay, so the language still works to give information, and they can still talk to you, but you might have repetitive questions. You might have them repeating things three or four times, forgetting that they've already told you that information. But all in all, their language is still there, but you've got increasing problems all over the place that you're recognizing, okay? So we would call this person high functioning in the early middle stage, okay? High functioning doesn't mean that everything is okay. It means that they're having impairments in certain areas, but their language skills are such that they can still converse with us and they can still have a pretty good quality of life and the ability to really be articulate and still conversive with you to a large degree. This is where it gets super confusing because you say, gosh, 1 minute I'm talking to them, they sound fine and they can remember things, and the next day they're not good at all. They got up in the morning and they seemed really sharp, and by midday I couldn't even have a conversation with them. What's going on? Right? So if you get to that stage, we're going to check it off, okay? Problems will begin to show with thinking, and handling abstract ideas is much harder. What does that mean? So that means abstract ideas are basically the right side of your brain. It's the parietal lobe. And it means time and space are kind of messed up. What day is it? What time is it? What month is it? What year is it? And why do I need to know? The people with the disease are great at coping skills at this point in time. And they're answering you, they're telling you information that is still pertinent to a degree, but they will leave basic information out. They can talk to you and carry on a conversation that sounds just great. And caregivers, I feel you right here. This is when you take your loved one to the doctor. The person with the diagnosis talks a blue streak and the doc says they're fine. And they say it's mild cognitive impairment. And you say, oh, no, it's not. It's way worse than that. You should see the things that go on at home. But when they're talking to the person's kind of shooting the shit with them. They're just, you know, enjoying the conversation. And they're saying, oh, yeah, doc, I've been doing this. And what do you think of the stuff on TV? And they can say just enough. And I don't mean that they're trying to manipulate anything, but they can talk about current events just enough that it confuses you why they might call you in the middle of the night and tell you they're scared, why they open every cabinet, why they can't find items in their own cabinets, why they can't complete a task like we found out in the last stage that they should be able to do normally. And so this is confusing to people. And I'm telling you, I know there are thousands of you that say, I took my husband or wife or brother, sister, whoever it is, to the doctor. They talked a blue streak and the doctor said there wasn't anything wrong with them. Well, this is where, folks, you need to write these things down. Take this scale with you. Again, if you want a copy of this, if you email me on my contact me at my Summit Resilience Training website, I will send this scale to you, and then you can just keep it and share it with family and friends and just mark off as your loved ones get through these stages and move on to the next. And if you take this to the doctor with you, it would be an extremely helpful tool. So now you've been told. All right. So last but not least, they are easily frustrated and may become impulsive. Okay, what do I hear from listeners about this? Well, the people in my support groups and my classes will say, my husband or wife has not been maintaining the checkbook. They're having problems. But when I say, let me help you with that, they get furious. They don't want the help. you realize that they've left the shower or the bath on and something overflowed, and they're angry with you for pointing it out. They want to go to the grocery store. They want to go, go, go. They get focused on doing some task that they need to do, and they cannot get off of it. They want to play. They want to get on the computer. They want to go out and play in the yard. They want to listen to music. They watch TV incessantly. They want to drive a car, and typically they're angry at you, the caregiver, because you're not allowing them to do what they need to do. And you know it's not in their best interest. It's not in the safety of everyone surrounding you or the world if they were to drive a car or anything like that. But they're angry about it, and they don't want you to stop them from doing whatever they need to do. I can give another example of that. A family I'm currently working with, the mom, who's in her early 80s, did not want to move out of her apartment, but they knew she could no longer live on her own. And she was really frustrated by that. I can live on my own. I can do things on my own. Leave me alone. But they knew it was time for her to move into an assisted living or something. And they've had nothing but problems at this point, because this is what often happens. A person moves into assisted living because the assisted living community needs bodies. They need heads in beds. So they let people come into the communities, and 6 months later, the impairment starts showing, just like our little scale is proving here. And all of a sudden, they call the family and start saying, they're doing this, they're doing this, and they're doing this, and we need to put them on medication. And I'm telling you right now, people, I know that the world at large handles things like this with medications because everybody else is doing it. It's a slippery slope. It's a fallacy. You know, just because a lot of people are doing heroin, should we all do heroin? No. So here's the thing. When somebody comes to you and says they want to give medications to a person who is behaving in a way that is common for people with Alzheimer's, I call that a medical restraint, and I have a serious problem with it. So anyway, getting off my soapbox, there you have it. We're going to move to early middle stage, level 4.0. If everything in the last area has all been checked off, we're moving now down to the next stage. So in the early middle stage, so now we're in mid stage and the beginning of it, the impairment is more noticeable on a lot of levels. So they have limited attention and are easily distracted, meaning they walk into a room, the TV's on, you're trying to talk to them, you're trying to get ready to go, you're trying to eat dinner, and they get up and walk away. They react to pressure. If somebody is talking to them, if somebody is challenging them, if they feel judged, they're going to give you a reaction. People with Alzheimer's don't just act out without a trigger. They need an act to cause a reaction for the most part, okay? So they will react to pressure. So if someone is not being kind to them, if someone is anxious around them, if somebody is angry with them, they will feel it and you get back what you gave, okay? I promise you, if you have a tense home, if you have anxiety in the home, that person will feed off of that and you will have a person with Alzheimer's who is angry. That's how that works. Okay? So we have some say in the calmness in our house and the calmness in ourselves and digging deep into the reserve of patience that we have and compassion that we have, because if you don't, it will come back to haunt you. It truly will. Okay? So abstract thought is very weak. Knowing what day it is, again, knowing what time it is, knowing what they have to do. That person with the diagnosis no longer lives in a rhetorical world. They don't know what's coming next. They only live in the present. They're completely in the present. So their abstract thought is not there. It's just not working. So if you have recognized any of these, I'm going to say it one more time, limited attention and easily distracted, reacts to pressure, abstract thought, very weak, mark it off. We'll move to the next one. Simple and familiar tasks with few steps. That's what you have to do. So stir this pot. Put your coat on. Wash your hair. Go to the bathroom. Flush the toilet. Simple, simple task. Less than, I would say, 10 steps. Anything that is more than 10 steps are going to have a problem with. Cut your food. Eat your dinner. Simple instructions. Don't convolute it with a bunch of information. Don't necessarily carry on a great big conversation about current events. Talk about days of old, because their ability to follow things isn't going to be there. So you really, really have to keep things simple, simple, simple. Would you like a cup of coffee? Not what would you like to drink? Not going to work. Would you like a bowl of cereal? Here's the spoon for the cereal. You're having to really name your items, keep everything, language, systems, A to Z must be simple. If they're having problems with that, check it off. The person knows there's a goal, but they need reminders. Again, we had that in the last one. So now they actually know they have to go somewhere, but you have to physically help them. All right, we're going to leave now. We've got to put our coats on where it's cold outside, or put your shoes on. We've got to go. You're really orchestrating whatever that goal is now. You have to say, we're going to take a bath or a shower. Here's your towel. Let's open the door. Let's turn the water on. So they need help with just about everything in this area. All right? If they're having this issue, knowing that there's a goal but needs reminders, check that off. All right, we're still in 4.0. Clear trouble with memory, language, orientation, perception, and attention. Okay, that's a big one. That's pretty big. So you hear them repeating the same things over and over, telling you the same story. You're coming to visit mom or dad or something like that, and you walk in, you say hello, you give them a kiss, you walk out of the room, set your stuff down, your keys on the counter, you come back in and they go, oh, hi, when did you get here? Clear trouble with memory. Language, saying here, here, or she. In our world of double doubles, like, that is really red, red. That can be kind of confusing, but this is where a person maybe says the same word a couple times in a row. Trouble getting the thought out, not being able to complete a sentence. They get halfway through the sentence and it's gone. They're starting to carry on a thought and the thought disappears. Just disappears. And they're frustrated with that and they're struggling with that. That's what I mean by language. Orientation. Orientation is, where am I? Am I in my own home? What do I do now? Is it time to eat? Is it time for bed? Should I feed the dog? Huh. And then coming right back around to, where am I? And you know, it's like rinse and repeat here. That's what orientation is about. Where am I? Who am I? Who are you? Perception. Perception would be like a lack of color contrast, or seeing something that maybe isn't accurate. Like, they might think that water coming down out of a shower is shrapnel, You know, it's like something shooting out of the sky that's going to attack them, and maybe it hurts. They see something black and they won't step on it. They don't think to step over the white tub because the floor was white and the shower's all white and the shower curtain's white and everything's white, and they trip over it and take a fall in the bathroom. They go into the bathroom to go to the bathroom and do their business, and they go in the garbage can instead because they don't see the white on white on white toilet. So they may go into the black toilet or a paper basket right next to it. Sometimes they will go to the bathroom in the sink or potted plant or something like that. So that's where you're having problems with that. So the perception is pretty big. If you put mashed potatoes on a white plate, they might look up at you and say, "I'm hungry." Okay? So even seeing themselves, seeing objects, naming objects, these kinds of things become difficult. That's what perception is all about. And attention. Again, I talked about this just a few minutes ago. They have a very short attention span. They go from one thing to the next to the next. They'll walk out of the room when you're talking to them. Very short attention span. If you're having trouble in this area, clear trouble with memory, language, orientation, perception, and attention, check it off. The next one, performance quality is poor, meaning anything they go to do falls apart. They go to the cabinet. They can't remember why they're there. But this is a real problem. They really don't remember why they're there. I'll give you another example. I did an assessment on a gentleman the other day, and I asked him to show me into his kitchen and make me a cup of coffee. When I did that, he asked his daughter to take me in the kitchen. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to fail. And I said, "No, I really want you to do it." And he asked her again, "Can you take Jill into the kitchen and get her a cup of coffee?" And I said, "Oh, that's all right. I really want to just see your kitchen." Well, it was an open concept. So we were sitting at like a breakfast bar, and the kitchen was right behind us. It wasn't like we were moving into like a whole nother room or anything. But, you know, he never even questioned why I was there. The person never questioned why I was there. I came in with his daughter. I said I was her friend. He took me at my word and carried on a conversation with me, never saying, "How do you know my daughter?" or anything like that. So there again, performance really not there in terms of the quality of the interaction. He just was talking to me because I was a friendly person that was carrying on a conversation with him. But when we went in to get the coffee, he grabbed one of the Keurig cups and he went over to the Keurig machine. He opened it up and there was a used one in there. So he pulled it out, and I was really amazed that he did that. He could talk a lot and he was doing pretty well, but his attention span was a little short and he was using coping skills when he was talking to me. But this is where I could see a difference. He went to put the new cup in the Keurig. He shut it. He tried to hit the button on top, and when it didn't work, he waited about 3 seconds and then he opened it up and said, "Oh, this one is used." And it was the brand new one we had just put in there. And so at that point, he walked right over, got another Keurig cup and came back. And then as he looked at it, I said, "What do you think about this button? I think this might be the one that you have to push." Again, that's where we're cueing them, we're showing them, we're giving them instructions to help them. He hit that button, and then I put my coffee cup under there because he had forgotten to tell me to put the coffee cup under there. And then it turned on. And then when I asked him if he had any creamer or anything, he said, "I don't know." And he asked his daughter if he had any creamer in his house. And then he said, "I might have some milk." Actually, I asked him if he had some milk, and he opened the refrigerator and saw some half and half down below and actually said to me, "I think that's kind of old down there," because he drinks his coffee black. Well, that's understandable, but it was expired. It was expired from last year. Not good. I opened that up and, ooh, it smelled bad. So performance quality poor, that's what I'm talking about. And you will see what I mean. You'll go to your own thoughts and say, "Oh, yeah, this is something that my person has done, and it doesn't seem to make sense." So next, need help organizing tasks. So they need help in every way, okay? They need help with with everything I've just mentioned. Literally everything. They need help with, getting a drink, with getting some coffee, getting into a car, getting their clothes on at an appropriate time, even if you just have to set them in front of them and then tell them what to put on. If any of these are happening, there you go. So the short, concrete direction, visual cues, the last one in this category, I think I've just explained it pretty well with the coffee maker. And I had to show this person, hit this button, and they did, and we were able to get the coffee made. So I gave him a verbal cue, I gave him a visual cue, and I gave him a tactile cue of, I think we need to hit the button. That was the verbal. The visual was I pointed to it, and then I had him hit the button for tactile, and it was complete. But he could not have done that on his own. If any of those apply, we are moving out of the 4.0 and into the 3.5. Okay, so in the 3.5, they are confused. Oh, let me announce what it is. Becoming dependent in basic task. They're confused. They're vague about the purpose. We have to do what? Why are we going in here? You need to use the restroom. I do? No, I think I already went just a little while ago. These are the kinds of things that you'll hear them say. And they may not feel any sense of that purpose. They may not think they have to go to the bathroom, but you have to remind them every 2 to 3 hours or they're going to soil themselves or a chair, okay? And if you walk up behind them and they don't know you're coming, they can't hear you, and their peripheral vision is not intact, they can only see straight in front of them, and you walk into a room, tap them on the shoulder, and they freak out. If they get rushed or startled, they will yell or show you some discomfort in being surprised. Okay? That's a big one. If it occurs, check it off. Needs direction. May need help starting and with all the steps through the task. Again, getting into a bath or shower. Now you're helping them. You're saying, this is the soap. This is the rag. Start washing your leg. Do you need some help getting started? We're literally kind of helping them through everything. We may have to do all those, which leads me to the next one. They may be able to do 2 to 3 steps in order on their own, but then it falls apart, okay? So at this point, we're really helping them with that whole area. Their performance quality is very poor at this point. They really struggle with knowing what they have to do with each task, to add water and put a stopper in the tub and to fill the water at a certain temperature so you don't burn yourself, or to add bubble bath and to grab a towel. They can't do any of that on their own. Now they need somebody to help them, and they can only do 1 or 2 steps. They can grab the towel. They can try to help you with getting their clothes off. But other than that, you're pretty much doing everything for them. They still relate to objects. This is a wash rag, but they're easily frustrated when to know what to do with that wash rag. If you see this, check it off. They need visual and tactile information. We're going to turn the shower on now. Let's get your clothes off. Language is way too abstract. They can't. Now they're talking a little bit in word salad. They might not be talking to you in full sentences like they used to. Every time they look at you, they are confused. Everything has to be simplified. People, you know when you're at this stage. Check it off. Thinking severely impaired in all areas. You're seeing issues on every level, literally every level. Talking, eating, dressing, bathing, cueing, all of that. And they may not remember their caregivers. They may not remember who you are. If you brought someone into the home, they may not remember their name. If you're seeing this, check it off. Communication is shifting from words to sight and touch. May I wash your leg for you? Can I hold your hand? You may have to just grab their hand and guide them to a certain place. Their inability to maybe understand what a hug is. Generally, when people get into this stage, they love hugs. They like people to just give them hugs for absolutely no reason. And they really respond well to that. They like you putting your arm around them, saying something nice to them, smiling. They recognize your visual expressions more than anything, and respond very well if you have a gentle touch to go with it. So if you have all of that checked off, we're now moving to late middle stage, which is 3.0. This is a big area because at this point, it's general confusion. All thinking powers are seriously affected. They can't think on their own. Their speech is word salad. If they're speaking at all, they might just smile at you and talk in language that doesn't make any sense. This is the next one. They are very confused, hard to understand what's happening or what's wanted of them, that you want them to come a certain direction, that you want them to come over and get dressed. We're helping them to get dressed. They're not able to do it on their own. Okay, so if those first two things are already happening, check them off. They have no purpose, no order with help. They don't understand that it's time to eat dinner. We have to tell them. They don't know it's time to go to the doctor. We just have to get them ready. So if you see that, check it off. They need help starting and staying with all tasks. Like I said, short attention span. You can't leave them on their own to complete any task. They're not going to get dressed by themselves. They're not going to eat by themselves. They're not going to prepare food or anything. You're doing everything. If that applies, check it off. You have to be very concrete at this point with them because they need visual and tactile clues. You have to show them something. This is a toothbrush. This is the toothpaste. We're going to put the toothpaste on the toothbrush. It gets that simple. Okay? If you're in that stage, check it off. And they need step-by-step help. There's no turning back here. Last one in that level is very easily distracted. They can be frustrated and upset and confused if you are giving them negative energy. Don't rush or pressure them in any way, shape, or form. Just constantly reassure them that they are safe and that you love them and that you care about them. Okay? If you can check all those off, we're now moving to late stage 2.0. And that is functioning with minimal abilities. So their powers of thinking are virtually non-existent. They just walk up and down, looking at everybody, smiling at people. They try to engage in something that is tactile that they can put in their hands, but doing it on their own, not happening. If that applies, check it off. Purpose and order are no more. Everything has to come from an outside source. You're literally doing everything for them. They may or may not relate to objects. They won't understand what a Kleenex is. You may have to help them to wipe their nose, things like that. They need total care, total care. And at this point, everything has turned to comfort. You're trying to make sure that they're warm, that they're happy, that they're fed, but they're doing none of this care on their own. And involvement at this stage is entirely passive. They're not really participating in anything that is substantial. So last but not least is the late middle stage, 1.0. They're generally in bed and unresponsive. They have little or no consciousness or awareness. They sleep 90% of the time. They need total care, and comfort is the goal. Anyway, folks, I hope this has been helpful for you today. I would be happy to send it to you if you want it. All you have to do is email me and I'll send it to you. I hope in the upcoming weeks I have more good strategies and techniques for you. And I'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.